Good morning. Today's Daf Ink Suvos is Vav. We're on Hamad Beis, and we're about a third of the way down. We're starting with the words Yibar Lahu. Gemara's discussion today is going to be graphic in nature, just as a forewarning. But every word that we're going to say, hopefully being correct, but every word we're going to say is Torah, as the Gemara's discussion over here is going to be revolving the allowance of whether or not one can have beer with his newlywed on Friday night. That's going to be the discussion on our Gemara. Now, the marriage is taking place on Wednesday. We've established that already in the beginning of the Masechta. The opening Mishnah taught us that Wednesday is the day in which weddings are instituted to be had on, and that is because of Basin and Basin convening on Thursday. Okay, so why is he having beer Rishon on Friday night? And the answer could be very simple. First of all, as the Gemara pointed out, the Mishnah's institution of getting married on Wednesday was not always. There are times in history where they can get married. You can get married on other days of the week, Bisman Hazeh, and for at least as far back as I know, people have been getting married any night of the week. The Mishnah's ruling of getting married on Wednesday seems to be a limited period of history. Okay, that's number one. Number two, as we're gonna point out in just a couple minutes from now, it's very possible they did get married on Wednesday, and for whatever reason, they just simply could not have been until Friday night. Okay, anyway. So beer Rishon on Friday night. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is, as we're going to see, it's complicated. It's an extraordinarily complex maze of positions in which we're going to be deliberating. And so we're going to wind our way through this discussion of the Gemara. I'm on the front end, I'm telling everybody right now, I'm going to be doing a little too quickly, meaning that really, this is the kind of thing where it'd be better if you took the time to really think through exactly all what all the considerations are. But they're basically essentially going to be four considerations, and there are going to be two different ways to say these four considerations. So, and I know I'm going to go through it a little too quickly, but this is the Gemara's discussion. And that really will cover the entirety of today's daf, meaning we have one daf today. Tomorrow also we're going to be still on this topic of whether or not one can have beer Rishon on Friday night. So before we get to the Gemara, before we get really into the details, so what's the issue? The issue is the following. So we know that a woman has Dam Besulim, she has a hymenal sac. And so upon beer Rishon, so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be rupturing the Dam Besulim. So that causes a wound on Shabbos. So one's not allowed to make a wound on Shabbos. That is what's called a chabura. Making a wound on Shabbos is prohibited because, well, this part is not perfectly clear. Meaning of all the things that we're going to be discussing today, I'm going to tell you the funniest thing that we're not going to discuss today, and that is which malach of Shabbos are we in fact talking about. So the probably the best candidate over here in terms of which malach we're talking about is the malach of Shechita. In other words, you're not allowed to shecht an animal because the shechting of the animal is by definition going to extract the blood. It's going to cause the blood to come out. And so it could be that this is a tolada. It's a function of Shechita. There's another way in which you could say it as well. It could be mefarik. Mefarik is when you separate that which is from inside to the outside. When you're shelling on Shabbos, that's the malach of dash, right? A subcategory of dash is mefarik. Mefarik is, well, let's say, for example, when you squeeze the juice out of a fruit. So that's mefarik. So over here, that could also be mefarik as well. Anyway, we're actually coming back to that. We're gonna get to that. We're coming to that point. That is no, you're right. But in other words, I'm just right now talking about the extraction of the blood and which malacha does that fall under. Again, it's not clear in the Gemara exactly which malacha falls under. Okay, it's a funny ambiguity that the Gemara itself never really reconciles. But the Gemara doesn't need to reconcile it because the Gemara assumes that it belongs to a malacha. It's just a question of what malacha it is. So once you make a wound in a person and in fact you're going to be extracting blood, so that's a malacha on Shabbos. So at first glance, the issue over here should be an open and shut case, meaning you can't cause a wound on Shabbos. If having beer Rishon on Shabbos by definition is going to be wounding her, so it should be aser, right? So that, okay, good. That's a first glance at the topic, but we're going to do more than just a first glance. So the Gemara starts off. Ibai lehu, ma levo b'tchil b'Shabbos. So can beer Rishon be done on Shabbos, yes or no? So the Gemara is going to first straddle this question on two sides of the following issue. So the Gemara says, first of all, the hymenal sac. So, and the blood that's contained in the dam besulim. So, is it mifka pakid or is it chabura michbar? Okay, so basically there are two ways in which one could look at it. So, it is a tissue that exists right at the front of the canal, and it's going to be ruptured, and is that blood now either mifkat pocket? Mifkat pocket means that it's already collected in one area. It's like a pocket, if you will. And all you're doing is that you're just simply opening the door. But you're not actually causing a chabura. A chabura is causing a wound in a person in which what you're doing is you're extracting the blood. Over here, you're not extraction. There's no extraction. It's just simply a collected area. It's already pooled in one area. And all you're just simply doing is just simply opening the door, so to say. That's one possibility. Or chabura mechbar. Maybe no. Maybe it's not a collected area of blood, meaning maybe to say that it's just a regular wound, and as such it would be a chavala on Shabbos. So the first question that we're litigating right now is exactly what is the nature of the actual sack itself, mifkat pakid or chabura mechbar. Now, if it's mifkat pakid, halachically that'd be better, because that means to say that even though when in fact you rupture it, it's not analogous, it's not tantamount to actual chabur, it's not chavala. All you're just simply doing is that you're just simply releasing it from a collected area. On the other hand, if it's chabur michbar, so then you're making a chavala. Now, hold on 1 second. Just give me a sec. There's a lot of factors over here. We're going to get through each one of them. So let me just go a little bit, because there are a number of things to take into consideration. Right, Baruch Hashem, you and I have been through this before. So the Gemara is going to unravel a whole bunch of considerations. We've said this before, but let's say it again. So the Gemara is arguing over the metzias of the sack, and the answer probably is no, of course not. Meaning they knew what they were looking at. They had a good understanding of what the sack is, what the hymenal sack is. It's just a question of which halachic category does it fit into. Is it better slided into the mifkat pakid category, or halachically better slotted into the chabura mechbar? But they're not arguing about what it is. That's number one. So that's one consideration. Number two, imtim salam adam mifkat pakid. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's go over both sides. So let's say adam mifkat pakid, that really the truth of the matter is it's collected, it's pooled in one area. So l'dam utzarech v'shario, dam l'pesach utzarech v'asar. So now we have to take the following into consideration. So what is your interest? Is your interest that you want the dam, meaning all you want to do is just simply remove the dam, meaning the fact that you're making an opening over there, that doesn't interest you at all. The truth of the matter is you want the dam. Now, why do you want the dam? So it's a funny thing. You want the dam, meaning because you want to show that she was a basula. She wants demonstrative proof that she was a basula. So maybe the focus over here is on the dam, or alternatively, maybe you want the Pesach. If you want the Pesach, so that's the opening of a Pesach, making an entrance on Shabbos. So that's a violation of Shabbos. That's tikkun. So the Gemara says, so which are you considering? So the intim salam adam mifka pakel adam utzarech v'shario dam ala pesach utzarech v'aser v'intim salam ala adam utzarech u'pesach mimele ka'asi. But the Gemara says, okay, now even here, so let's go down this level. So even if, let's say, for example, you're really focusing on the dam, okay, but you can't ignore the fact that you're making an opening, you're making an entrance, you are opening the door, so to say, so it's coming. So Allah Karabi Shema Damar Davashina Miskavin Motor, Allah Karabi Huda, Damar Davashina Miskavin is Asr. So on the Asiyasa Pesach, which is incidental, well, where do we stand on incidental? So this is something that we've gone over time and again throughout Shas, and that is the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon's of the position that Dav Shein HaMiskaven is mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda's of the position that Dav Shein HaMiskaven is usher. So we have to know where we stand over there. V'imtim salam halachik Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that incidentals are mutter. So the Gemara says, mekako leitzel pesach or metakinu eitzel pesach. Well, there's one more thing that needs to be litigated, and that is the question of kilkul. Is it going to be a kilkul regarding the Pesach, or is it going to be a tikkun regarding the Pesach? Now, over here, this part is another step. It's a separate step, and that's the following. Look, right now we are, if you're following the chart well, meaning the best way to do this is to really chart this out. If you're following the chart well, we are right now navigating through the option of mifkat pakid. Meaning that it's collected. It's a pooled area of blood. And so what you're doing is you're opening the door. Now, as per the opening of the door, so if your interest is opening the door, that's usher. On the other hand, your interest in the blood and the opening of the door is incidental. Then it's a question of where you hold by Davar Sheinu Miskaven. And even if you hold, just please give me a moment. And even if you hold that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is, even if you hold the Davar Sheinu Miskaven as usher, there's another reason, meaning like Rabbi Yehuda, there's another reason why you would say that it would be okay, and that it could be viewed as a kilkul. It could be viewed as something which is destructive. Where do you hold on destructive acts on Shabbos? That too is a machlokas. Now this is a bit of an oddity. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It happens to be that the positions are flipped. Rabbi Shimon says that kilkul is usher, and Rabbi Yehuda says that kilkul is mutter. So what the Gemara is now saying is that even if the opening of the door is incidental, and even if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, there still is a reason to say that it would be okay, and that it could be that the opening of the door is a view to something which is destructive or constructive. Okay, constructive in the sense that now it will allow for more blood to come out, destructive in the fact that you're destroyed. And it could be viewed in one of two ways. So in this first pathway, even if I subscribe to Rav Yehuda that incidental, that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is usher, I could still make the argument that it's kilkul and therefore it's going to be mutter.
How about psik reisha?
So psik reisha is a great question, and we're going to table that question because the Gemara later is going to ask that question.
Because you're opening the door, why don't we look at it as a makibah passage?
Yeah, right, correct, exactly correct.
They don't use that term.
They don't use the terminology. A lot of the terminology is just not being used over here. As I pointed out in the beginning, just give me a second. Even the Chabura, the Gemara doesn't use terminology in terms of which Malacha and Shabbos it is. So you're right. We're missing some basic terminology over here in the Gemara itself. Well, we shouldn't fill in the terminology. You're right. In other words, if it's the opening of a door, that would be Aser. So it's right. You could call it Makabah Pakish. You could call it Tikkun Mana. Something along those lines.
Biologically, is it a sac filled?
Correct. So as I pointed out, they knew biologically what it was. It's just a question now of which halacha category to put it in.
I'm still a little confused. Is it a sac filled with something?
No, it's like
a membrane.
I'll let the doctor talk. It's more like a membrane.
It's membrane that's being ruptured, so there's a bleeding from
the. So it pulls, I guess, from the sides or whatever ruptures and makes blood.
It's tear.
Okay. So, Iga de Amri. Okay, good. So that now gets us through round one. Meaning, so that was all one version of the discussion. Let's go to version number two. Iga de Amri, Imtim Salam Adam Chabur Mechbar. Okay, so now in version number two, so we're going to go down the other pathway. Right. Remember, there are four levels to this discussion. So here in version number two, so we're not going to go down the path of Dam Ifka Pocket where it's pooled and you're opening the door, but rather Chabur Mechbar, meaning this is a wound. What you're doing is that you're wounding her. Now again, wounding on Shabbos by itself is usher. Like, what's the discussion? Okay, good. So let's see. So the Imtim Salam Adam Chabur Mechbar L'Dam Hu Tzarech V'Asser. So is it that I'm interested in the Dam and therefore it's going to be usher? Or Dilma L'Hanas Atzma Hu Tzarech V'Shari? Or maybe no. Maybe the truth of the matter is that he's not thinking about wounding right now. All he's thinking about is the pleasure that he and his wife are having and having relations. So the imtim salam alanas ratzmahu tzarech v'dam mimele ka'aseh. So the Gemara says, okay, but you can't ignore the fact that the blood is in fact coming out. So you are wounding. So Allah k'Rabbi Yehuda, Allah k'Rabbi Shimon. So now this is incidental. Where do we stand on incidental? It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would allow it and Rabbi Yehuda would prohibit it. V'imtim salam alacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And even if I held like Rabbi Yehuda, where incidental is asur, mekaka b'chabura or mesaki b'chabura. Is this a kilkul or is this a tikkun? V'imtim salam mekaka b'chabura. And even if I hold that this is kilkul, so who? B'mekaka halacham k'Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, alacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Where do we stand on kilkul? Do we follow like Rabbi Yehuda or do we follow like Rabbi Shimon? Okay, period. Okay, so what did we just do in the last half of Hey Amud Beis? So what we did is we considered a lot of possibilities in terms of whether it should be asur or mutter. Meaning, so if you're following well, we start off with a very basic question regarding how exactly to look at the sack. Is it the pooled area of blood or is it wounding? And then the Gemara in two different Lishonos basically takes us through a maze of, if I say Mifkat Pocket, that's a pooled area of blood, and all you're doing is opening the door, then we have to take the following B, C, D into consideration. And if I go, and that's in version number one. In version number two, where the way they're looking at the sack is that it is chabur and mechbar, you're just wounding. And now we're starting off with that presumption. And now, once again, we're going to be ping-ponging between another three more considerations after that. When all said and done. So can the first bia occur on Friday night? The answer right now is it's a machlokas. But that obviously is an oversimplification, meaning the Gemara just navigated through various considerations that one has, starting with how to look at it, and then after we have established how to look at it, we didn't establish, meaning the Gemara really give two alternative ways of how to look at it, then there are on top of that an additional three more considerations in each of those cases. Okay, so far so good. So now, we'll reset the question. So for whatever reason, they're having Bia Rishon on Friday night. Mutter or Aser? Right now? You don't know. I don't know. The Gemara continues to discuss. We're on the very top of Vav Amud Aleph. So, Bivei, we have the word Idmar, but it's parentheses, I'm skipping. So, Bivei Rav, Amre Rav, Shari Ushmal Aser. So if you're in the Yeshiva of Rav, if you happen to be learning in Surah, so what do they say? So they quote their Rebbe Rav saying that it's Mutter. And they say Shmuel says that it's Aser. Now, but Narda, now if you happen to have been learning in the Yeshiva Narda, which is Shmuel's town, so Amri Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. They have it flipped. They say that Rav says it's Aser, and they say that Shmuel says that it's Mutter. Amri Rav Nachman, Yisrael V'simancha Eila Mekil Atzman V'Eila Mekil Atzman. Now, great way to remember our Gemara over here is that on this particular issue, each one is makel for themselves, meaning, if you're living in Narda, so who's your hometown Rebbe in Narda? Shmuel. What's their position? He's Mekel. If you're living in Surah, so who's their hometown Rebbe? Rav. What does he say? He says that's Mutter. Good. So each one is Mekel on this issue. V'Rav Shari.
Well, the other guy is
Machmer. Him. Right. Correct. Right. Yeah. Right. He's Machmer. Our Rav is Mekel. So V'Rav Shari. The Gemara says now, is that right? Meaning. Can't be. How can that possibly be? The Hamar of Shimi Bar Chizkiya Mishmei the Rav Haim Misuchrei the Nazai Sasala Aduka B'Yomatava. So the Gemara says, well, let's take the following halach into consideration. That's taught to us by Rav, and that is the following. So I have we have a large barrel, and let's say that there's beer in the barrel, and what I want to do is I want to open it up and I want to close it. Okay, good. So you have a cork, and you take the cork and you pull it out, and out comes the beer, and then you put it back in again. But let's say you don't have a cork. What do you have? You have a shmata, right? A shmata handle. At this point in time, right? You know what a shmata is? Yeah, you know. Okay, good. So you have a shmata, and let's even say that the shmata is wet. And by the way, even if it's not wet, it's going to get wet because you're putting it right into the stopper where the beer is coming out. Okay, so now what you have to do is that you have to insert it there nice and tight. And what you're going to be doing is that you're going to be squeezing it as you're pushing it in there. So can you do that on Yontav, yes or no? Now remember, Yontav and Shabbos principally are the same halachas, meaning the malachas that are asr on Shabbos are asr on Yontav as well. Of course, we know that there are some malachas on Yontav that are mutter because of ochel nefesh, but this not being one of them. So now on Yontav, can I take the rag and squeeze it into the spot, knowing full well that I'm going to be squeezing out some of the liquid in the rag? Yes or no? Rav says, no, you can't. And hi, Mesurcha de Nazai Sasala Duka B'Yamtav. You can't put it in there. So the Gemara is assuming, why not? So right now the Gemara is assuming is because he subscribes to the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda, meaning incidental, meaning as far as the liquid coming out of the Shmata. All right, is that my intention? No, my intention is to stuff up the barrel. And so there's liquid that's going to come out of it. But that's not my intention. This is what's called a Davar Sheina Miskaven. And by Davar Sheina Miskaven, where does Rav hold? Does he hold like Rav Yehuda, who says that it's Aser, or does he hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's Mutter? It sounds over here from this Psak that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheina Miskaven is Aser. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'll say this now, incidentally, pun intended. So the truth of the matter is that there's much more to discuss over here, because over here, unlike the case of having relations on Friday night, where that is not necessarily psik resha. I know I tabled the discussion. I'm still tabling the discussion because the Gemara later is going to ask it, but at least we can entertain that that's not a psik resha. Over here, it certainly sounds like it's a psik resha, meaning, right, you're stuffing in a shmata into the hole, and you know that water is going to come out of it, meaning what's the alternative? So over here, there's a lot more to discuss, but I'm just going to stick with the basic point of the Gemara right now, and that is Rav subscribes to Rav Yehuda that a Davish and a Miskaven is Aser. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now, and so consequently, how can anyone suggest that according to Rav, be a Rishon it can be happening on Friday night? So the Gemara says, "Bahu afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda da by Vareva da Mitavayu Moda Rabbi Shimon be Psik Reisha v'lo Yamos." So the Gemara says, "Well, it's a Psik Reisha. Everyone agrees by Psik Reisha that it's going to be Aser. That case is Psik Reisha. Therefore, leave that case out of the discussion." V'hamar Rav Chia Barashi Amar Rav Halachi Karebi Yehuda. So V'Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel Halachi Karebi Shimon. V'Rav Chia Bar Avin Mastin La Below Gavrei Rav Amar Halachi Karebi Yehuda Shmuel Amar Halachi Karebi Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's leave the world of the barrel. Let's just go with what we know, meaning we have as a tradition that, right, different ways to present the tradition, but we have the tradition that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. Davishena Miskavin is Aser. According to Shmuel, Davishena Miskavin is Mutter. So, how can Rav, we're resetting the question, but now that we know that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda, how can Rav be of the position that Bia Rishon on Friday night could be Mutter? So la'olam Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle la'ach lishna dam adam ifka pakin mekalkohu. So the Gemara says it's not so hard. And now I say it's not so hard. It isn't so hard after you know the beginning of today's daf. Meaning, remember, we had two avenues that we went down. We went for the first avenue we went down is dam ifka pakin. That's a pooled area of blood, and all you're doing is opening the door. Now, what's the only issue to litigate? Asiyas Pesach, you're making a doorway. But that's incidental. Okay, good, it's incidental. So where do I hold? Like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Well, I know where Rav holds. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, but remember that's not where the discussion ended. The discussion continued from there. Then we went on to discuss whether or not, even if I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Davishen Miskaven is Aser, so is it a kilkel or is it not a kilkel? So the Gemara says, so if I subscribe to Damifka Pakin Mekalkohu, so all I do is just go to the next step of the discussion, and I'll just simply say that, yes, it's true. It's a Davar Shem Miskaven, and yes, it's true. Rav holds the Davar Shem Miskaven as Aser, but it's a Kilkohu. And because it's a Kilkohu, so therefore Rav would tell you that it's Mutter. Okay, and it's a Mikalkohu, it's La Pesach. Lahach Lishna, and now let's go down the other avenue. Meaning, if we are going to go and say that the dam besulim is chabur mechbar, and you're making a wound, so lahach lishna dam adam chabur mechbar mekalka b'chaburuhu. So once again, even though just go down the set of considerations, even though we said that you're making a chabura, but it's incidental. Really, you're hanas atzmo, and the chabur is incidental, and Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a davshen miskaven is aser. But still, it's a kilko bechabura, and it could be that Rav would hold that on that issue. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda in that it would be mutter. Okay, fine.
Why doesn't the concept apply mitzvah
asse over Rav? We're talking over here. The mitzvah's essay does not need to be performed on Shabbos, meaning you could do it after Shabbos.
Waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The in other words, it's not. This is not something that an essay dochalosa says when it has to be done at this point in time, right? The carbon Pesach on Shabbos and a meal on Shabbos, right? Mila shalob bezmano, right? Let's write things that we know, right? Mila shalob bezmano. Let's say it's no longer the eighth day and Shabbos comes. What do? We wait. Okay. Meisiv Rav Chista. Okay, so right now. We are one issue today, and it will only be one issue today. Be a Rishon on Friday night. Mutter or Aser? So right now, we are in the middle of a major discussion in the Gemara on this very issue. The first part of today's daf was just simply setting up what the considerations are. Second part of today's daf is where does Rav and Shmuel stand on this issue? And even if the basic point of the last 10 minutes of the daf is that even if Rav held like Rabbi Yehuda, which he does, that a Davar Shein Miskaven is Aser, still he could take the position that Bia Rishon on Friday night would be Mutter. Okay. Meisav Rav Chista. What we're going to do now is that we're going to ask two questions based on two brisas, and that pretty much will be the end of today's daf. Okay. The first question, let me just do a little bit of introduction over here. Man and woman, once their husband and wife have a mitzvah to be with one another, except, of course, when she's a Nida. So when she's a nida, obviously there's an issa d'oraisa, an issa kareis for them to be together until she finishes her nida. She tovas in the mikvah. Okay, that we all know. If there is any other blood that comes out from that area, so that does not create issa between husband and wife. Meaning, let's say for example, it's a damak, it's a wound that comes out. In other words, there's some sort of wound coming from, let's say, the canal area. So that's not going to make her an Ida, obviously. What about Dam Basulim? Is Dam Basulim going to make her prohibited to her husband? The answer, of course, is no. In other words, Dam Basulim is not going to make her also to her husband. Meaning, in fact, the Dam Basulim exists at the front end of the canal, and when it's ruptured, so it doesn't make her also to her husband, meaning that's a totally different Dam. That's not menstrual blood. That's Dam Basulim. It's Dam Maka. It's a wound. Okay, so the question, of course, becomes the following. How do you know? Meaning that from a superficial standpoint, without an internal investigation, examination, so how do you know what that dam is? Meaning, can you assume that when you and her are first married, so and you know that there is dam basulim, and you know it's going to be ruptured, but at what point can you safely assume, oh, that's dam basulim, oh, that's not dam nida? At what point can you do that? Can you do that transition? Now, obviously, this is a very halacha lamaisa. This is a very practical question. And on this very practical question, so who do you turn to? Not me. You turn to your Rav, and you ask your Rav. And they're all going to say the same thing. But, in other words, this is not something you ask me. However, from the Gemara standpoint, so now you can ask me. Well, you don't have to ask me. We're going to go through the Gemara together. From the Gemara standpoint, so the Gemara is going to assume the following. Now, here's the Gemara's assumptions. And again, I'm not speaking medically. I'm speaking from the Gemara's assumptions. And hopefully the two are in synchronicity. I hope. And that is that as far as the Dam Basulim is concerned, when she's really young, so there is a lot of Dam Basulim. And what happens as she gets older is that it effaces. It thins out. Okay, and there won't be as much Dam. That's the Gemara's assumption. Therefore, when she's really young and gets married, so there is a longer period of time of safely assuming that it's Dam Basulim. As she gets older, so that window is going to get smaller and smaller as the Dam Basulim itself thins out more and more. Okay, that's the Gemara's assumption. Good, let's go. So, Mesav Rav Chitza Tinoka Shaligiyaz Manaliros Venisays. So let's say you have a right, Tinokas over here, not to be trans. Tinokas just simply means a young woman. Okay, she's very young. I mean, she's premenstrual. So Tinokas Oligiz Manaliros Venisays. So Beit Shammai Omrim Nosal Arba Leilos. So Beit Shammai says 4 nights. Meaning for the first 4 nights of her marriage, you can assume that any blood that's coming out is Dam Basulim. Beit Hillel Omrim Mashitechi Amake. And Beit Hillel says, no, you have a much longer period of time until she heals. Meaning that for every subsequent time that she and her husband are having relations with one another, as long as she bleeds, that blood can be assumed to be Dam Basulim. If at any point in time there is a break in the bleeding, so then only from that point going forward, then you have to entertain the possibility that the next blood that comes out is going to in fact be Dam Nida. Now, Higiyaz Man Aliros Venises. Okay, now let's say she gets to her menstrual age, but she hasn't actually menstruated yet. So Beit Shammai Omrim Nosal Ad Lailah Rishon. So according to Beit Shammai, you have the entirety of the first night of their marriage. Beit Hillel Omrim Ad Motzei Shabbos Arba Leilos. And Beit Hillel says that you have the first 4 nights of marriage, Ad Motzei Shabbos Arba Leilos. Right? Up until Motzei Shabbos, which is 4 nights, meaning they're getting married on Wednesday. So that is, let's count it, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzei Shabbos. Okay. And then the Mishnah happens to go on. But we're stopping right now in the Mishnah, meaning that's all we're interested in right now. So, because there's going to be a third developmental stage, and that is that not only does she arrive at the menstrual age, but she actually starts menstruating as well. And there, as you can predictably guess, so the window is going to get even smaller. Okay, but right, yeah, correct. So but right now we have enough information now that we're going to form a question together. We're gonna construct a question. My love, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Now, look what just happened over here. We described a woman who, again, we're assuming got married on Wednesday, and she has reached menstrual age but not started menstruating. And according to Beis Hillel, just focus on Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, Dal Leilos, Ad Motzei Shabbos. We can assume that the Dam that's coming out is Dam Basulim. So, my love, Dilo Baal, Masi Baal, so Afilo B'Shabbos. So, now the Mishnah doesn't say all this, but we're assuming right now that the that you did not have relations with her on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and what the Mishnah is telling us is that you are in fact allowed to have relations with her for the first time on Friday night. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. So I'm a Reva Lola Barmi Shabbos. So the Gemara so Reva says no to the exclusion of Shabbos. That's how you read the Mishnah. So I'm a Leabai Vaha Ad Motzei Shabbos Arba Leilos Ketani. That can't be. That's not even a plausible suggestion. The Brisa said really clearly that it's for Ad Motzei Shabbos until Motzei Shabbos, 4 nights. You can't say Levar Mi Shabbos with exception. I'm sorry, Levar Mi Shabbos with exception to Friday night. Ela Amarava Kishabal. So Rava here gives us another proposal, and that is that you are allowed to have relations with her on Friday night, but when you had relations with her already on Wednesday night or Thursday night, that's when you can continue having relations with her on Friday night. So Ikishabal my Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, what's the Chiddush? So Kamash Malan Deshar Lemiva B'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is, Kiddush Shmuel, that we pass like Shmuel, Damar Shmuel Pirza, Dechukam Etalekanis B'Shabbos, V'Afapisha Meshir Tzoros. So Shmuel has the following halacha on Shabbos, and that's the following. Let's say the pathway is really thin, and you're not really thin. Okay, sorry. And by you going through this pathway, meaning it's a doorway, but a really thin doorway, and not constructed particularly well. And by you squeezing yourself through that doorway, you know what's going to happen? A couple stones and pebbles are going to be dislodged, taken out of place. You're widening it as you're going through. Is that okay on Shabbos? By the way, I'm not talking analogy right now. In other words, what we're discussing is literally, right? The literal pathway, that entranceway that you're walking through. And according to Shmuel, you could squeeze your way through. Eye stones are going to get dislodged. That's not your intention. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now let's go back to our scenario. What's the Mishnah teaching us? Meaning the Mishnah is going out of its way to say that you can have relations with her for 4 consecutive nights, Ad Motzei Shabbos. And clearly what the Mishnah is telling you is that Friday night, there's some consideration, but don't worry about it. So what's that some consideration? So what the Gemara is suggesting is that some consideration is that not that you can be with her for the first time on Friday night, that you're not allowed to do. But the consideration is that there may be some remainder tissue. And in other words, you didn't do a full rupturing on the first time. And then Friday night, you may be doing some additional rupturing, right? So what the Gemara says is good, but we paskin like Shmuel, meaning the Mishnah wants to tell us that despite the fact that you're going to be widening it just a little bit, no problem, that's fine. Maze of Rav Yosef, okay, good. So that is all Mishnah number one. This Mishnah
related to our discussion earlier,
because what we entertained for a moment is that the Mishnah is telling us is that if you don't have relations on Wednesday night nor Thursday night, you can have it for the first time on Friday night. That's what we entertained for a moment. If it's true, so then obviously it's going to inform us regarding our issue. But the Gemara immediately sidestepped that because the Gemara said no. The Mishnah is only talking about a case where you already had relations with her either Wednesday or Thursday night. And then Friday night it's just a hamshacha. In other words, you're just winding it a little bit, but that's all the Mishnah is allowing. Meis of Rav Yosef. So here we go now with the second Mishnah. Chatan pater mikriya shma laila rishon al motzei Shabbos. So this we saw back in Brachos, and that is osik b'mitzvah pater min mitzvah. So the chassan who was involved in the mitzvah of getting married, obviously preoccupied in thought, just even in thought, by the way, about the upcoming marriage and the upcoming relations that he has with his wife. So he's going to be excused from saying Shema, right? Because Shema requires Kavana. And so his preoccupation is going to preclude his ability to have Kavana during Shema. Okay. As far as the halach is concerned, once again, I strongly encourage that you look it up in Shulchan Aruch and ask a Rav in terms of whether or not this exists today, this Patur exists today, because we're not the best. I'm sorry to say this. We're not the best at having kavana when it comes to davening. Okay. Anyway, but as far as the halacha in its original presentation, so you need to have kavana during Shema. You can't have kavana on the night you're getting married. Therefore, you're excused from saying Shema. Good. Now, im lo asa maisa. So chasam patur mikriya Shema laila rishon ad motzei Shabbos im lo asa maisa. And this exemption from Shema will continue the first 4 nights. Once again, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzei Shabbos. Now, after Motzei Shabbos, if you and her did not have relations with one another, your exemption is over. You're obviously not that preoccupied. If you let four nights go, and for whatever reason, you didn't do the mitzvah yet. Okay, so, my love, Datari Dabai Lemivel. So, now, we're at Friday night. For whatever reason, they didn't have relations on Wednesday night, nor Thursday night. So, Friday night, once again, he has an exemption from Shema. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because right now he's preoccupied with the thought that tonight he's going to have relations with his wife for the first time. And it's Friday night. So once again, this would seem to inform us that it would be mutter to have Be'er Rishon on Friday night. That's a good way to explain the Braisa. The Gemara attempts to explain the Braisa a different way. Amalei Abai Lo Detari Delobal. No, you know what it is? It's the exemption of Shema is over the anxiety that he's not going to have relations with his wife that night. The Gemara says, what? What? Amalei Rava Mishum Tir De Potter? Okay, look, anxiety does not excuse you from doing mitzvahs. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we all have anxiety. And granted, by the way, life is going to sometimes give us even more anxiety. But that's not going to exempt us from doing mitzvahs. Gemara says, El Me'ata Tavas Vinas B'yam Hachinami De Potter. So your business venture literally drowned at sea. Okay, in other words, you suffered a tremendous financial loss. Okay. So, and obviously that's going to induce a lot of anxiety, Baruch Hashem. And then what? I'm exempt from saying Shema. Of course you're not exempt from saying Shema. Okay. So, v'chite ma'achanami. And the Gemara says, and what? You want to entertain that for a moment? The Gemara says, don't you dare. V'hama Rabbi Abba bar Zavda amarav avo chai b'chol mitzvos amurs b'torah chutz min atfilin shenemar v'hen pe'er. And avel is chai in all mitzvos in the Torah. Notable exception is tefillin. We're talking about the first day of Avelus. Okay, once again, a lot of discussion regarding the Avel and Tefillin on the first day of his Avelus, but we're just looking at the larger picture of the Gemara over here. And Avel, so right now he suffered tremendous loss and is filled with stress and anxiety over the tremendous loss. And he's chayav in all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So in other words, general stress, anxiety is in no way, shape, or form going to be an exemption. It's not going to excuse you. So over here, when the Braisa says that Friday night, he's excused him from saying Shema, it's not over his non-performance of the mitzvah, because and just the anxiety of that itself is not an excuse. But rather, it's because he can have Be'er Rishon on Friday night. So Ela Merava Tanahi. So what do we have right now? So we have just discovered a Braisa that clearly discusses, and not discusses, states that the Be'er Rishon can in fact occur on Friday night. Okay, good. So we have a Braisa that says that it's okay. Mind you, by the way, we had a Braisa earlier in yesterday's daf that also said it was okay. So what are we now going to say? You probably can guess correctly. It's a machlokas, a tanaim. So ela amareva tanaihi. Okay, so it's a machlokas tanaim. Meaning good. So we now found a mission that says that Be'er Rishon can occur on Friday night. Good. What I'm going to show you is other Tanaim disagree. So the Tanachadim laws of Maisa Brishon Pater, Av Visheni Pater Av Vishlishi, Vitanya Idach Rishon Visheni Pater Shlishi Chayev. Good. So we have two conflicting Bryce, conflicting meaning they argue with one another. One Bryce says that your exemption goes until Friday night, includes Friday night, because on Friday night you're allowed to have Be'er Rishona, and that is a mitzvah, and that's going to exempt you from Shema. And the other Braisa says that no, Wednesday night, Thursday night, you're exempt. Friday night, you're not exempt. Why? Because you can't have Be'er Rishon on Friday night. Okay. V'abaye hasam nami betir de pligi. And what Abaye will tell you is that what they're arguing about is tirda, meaning Abaye will still counter and argue that despite the fact that we made a really strong case that anxiety and stress does not exempt you from mitzvahs, but maybe this particular case where you're toreid in the fact that she's your newlywed wife and you haven't had beer with her and Friday night you can't have beer with her, he will argue that such type of anxiety would in fact exempt you from Shema. And the Gemara points out, here we have a Braisa that spells it out clearly. That whether or not Be'er Rishon can be had on Friday night, it's a machlokas hatanayim. So here we have the Tanakhama saying, Lo yivol b'tchila b'shabbos. You cannot be a Rishon on Friday night. And the Chachamim matirim. And the Chachamim say it's fine. Chachamim amaraba. Rabbi Shimon Amar Davar Shein Miskaven Mutter. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a Davar Shein Miskaven is Mutter. Okay, we're almost done for today. Okay, so it happens to be a super organized daf in the construct of today's daf, in that it's one singular topic that we are litigating. Can be a Rishon can occur on Friday night. So where do we stand right now? The beginning of today's daf. So we had two different ways of looking at the actual Dan Besilim itself. Mifkat Pocket or Chabur Mechbar. And then within each of those, the Gemara then goes on to discuss three other considerations, halachic considerations, in terms of whether it's Mutter or Aser. When all said and done, we are straddling two different avenues, but even in those two avenues, you still can go either Mutter or Aser, based on other considerations. The Gemara and Vav Amud Aleph took us through the communities of Sur and Arda in terms of what their Pesach was. Each one of them, their hometown Rebbe said that it was Mutter, okay, even though they're offering opposite viewpoints of what, you know, what the actual Amoraim are saying. Okay. We then discussed Rav in terms of where does he stand on a Davar Shein Miskaven? Does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? We have a Mesorah that according to, that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shein Miskaven is Aser. It still won't tell us that Bi'ur Rishona is Mutter or Aser on Friday night, because again, there are other considerations as well. Okay. And then we went through two Mishnayos. One regarding how long can a person assume that the dam that comes out is dam besulim. For a girl who is of menstrual age, you have 4 nights ad motzei Shabbos. That would seem to indicate that you're going to be a Rishona on Friday night. The Gemara sidestepped that proof. We had another Mishnah that talks about the exemption of Shema, because on Friday night you have the first opportunity to be with your newlywed. And so that seems to indicate that it would be Mutter. That Mishnah certainly indicates that it's Mutter. And the Gemara concluded, you're right. There are Tanaim who say that it's Mutter. There are also Tanaim who say that it's Aser. That's where we're at. We're at right now. One more point for today, just to finish up today's daf. And that is the question that Phil asked at the beginning of the daf today. And I asked him to table it. And now we're taking it off the table. We're discussing it. So the Gemara says, now, I don't understand. Even if we subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, as we already pointed out in today's daf, this idea comes up again and again throughout Shas. So, if something is incidental, and Rabbi Shimon says that incidental is mutter, a davar shein miskaven is mutter, that's true, but if you know it's going to happen, so then if the incidental is inevitable, so then Rabbi Shimon says that it's aser. This is what's called psik reisha. The example of psik reisha, the classic example of psik reisha, is where I'm cutting off the head of my chicken because my child right now wants something to play with. Okay, so I'll give you something to play with. So I'll give you a chicken head to play with. So I'm lopping off the head of the chicken simply because it'll entertain my child. I'm shechting. That's not my intention. My intention right now is to make a toy for my kid. That's my intention. So we're all laughing. We're all smiling because it's going to be a little bit challenging to chop off the head of the chicken and at the same time say, oh, I'm not shechting. In other words, that is a psik reisha. The head is being chopped off. So that's an incidental, that's inevitable. And it's usher. Everyone says that it's usher. Okay, so isn't this case, be Rishon on Friday night, isn't it that? Isn't it inevitable? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Not necessarily. So the Gemara says, Amalei lo kalala bablim shein bikim bataya, yesh bikim bataya. So not like those Babylonians, okay? The Gemara on a number of occasions really takes aim at the Bavlim, even though we're learning Talmud Bavli. But okay, lo ke Bavlim, not like those Babylonians. Shem bekim bataya, yesh bekim bataya. There are those who know how to make that penetration come in an angle and not rupture the dam besulim. So im kein torid lama. So the Gemara says, okay, so then this idea that we discussed earlier, that the person's preoccupation with what? So l'sheino baki, so the Gemara says, for those people who are not proficient. So yomer baki mutter sheino baki aser. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So the baki, so he's allowed to, and the ain't a baki, he's not allowed to. So Rov B'kiyin Hein. So the Gemara makes a comment, which admittedly it's going to be hard to understand, and that is that the majority of people are B'kiyin. So Amalei Rava Baruchan La'abaye. Okay, so before we got into the next part of the Gemara, Rov B'kiyin, most people are proficient. Most newlyweds, most 20, 21-year-olds or whatever the age people are getting married. So most of them proficient. That seems to be strange. What proficiency, right? With a new husband and wife, and he has no experience whatsoever. What does the Gemara mean when it says Rov B'kiyin? So probably what the Gemara means, although I am inserting a pshat in the Gemara. Probably what the Gemara means is that there is enough chance that the Dam Basulim will not be ruptured to the extent in which we can now remove it from the category of Psik Resha. I know the Gemara says Rov B'kiyin, but all I'm suggesting is that it just simply means that there is now at least enough of a chance where we no longer can call it a Psik Resha. That's probably what the Gemara means. So Amalei Rava Baruchan La'abaye Lamayata Shoshbina Lama Mapa Lama. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got a question. As we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta, and the truth of the matter is that the Psukim in the Torah already described this. And that is that if he makes a charge against her that she's not a Basula, so what they're going to do is they're going to take the sheet out that they were on the night prior, and they're going to bring it to the basin as evidence. And obviously the evidence is that there's Dam. Now, if you just taught me that it's possible to make that first penetration without any rupturing, so then what are we looking? What evidence are we looking at over here? You can obviously have a false negative. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Hasam Shema Yira V'Yovad." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true." So Shema Yira V'Yovad. No, the Gemara's answer is like this. You're right. The lack of blood, the absence of blood on the sheet, proves nothing. In other words, that's a lack of evidence. The only thing that we're using the sheets for is that if in the event that they rupture, and again, most of the time, the Dam Basulim will be ruptured, and there will be blood on the sheet. So under those circumstances, that's why you bring the sheet in. Not for the absence of blood. The absence of blood proves nothing. And the only time the sheet is going to be helpful is when there's actual blood on the sheet, which under those circumstances, then the sheets are going to be used as evidence. Okay, Adkan. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Be Rishon on Friday night. Yes or no, Motzer Aser? So that was the entirety of today's daf. I already went through most of today's daf, even in review. The last thing that we discussed is, isn't it a case of Psik Resha? The Gemara's answer is, it's not a case of Psik Resha.